My guest at this time is retired U.S. Army Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. During his 36 years in uniform, he was an original member of Delta Force and spent much of his career commanding special operations units, including the Green Berets. He also served as Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. He's now Executive Vice President at the Family Research Council. And today we want to get the General's assessment of President-elect Trump's choice for Defense Secretary, that being retired U.S. Marine Corps General James Mattis. And General Boykin, it's always good to have you with us, sir. Thanks for your time.
Well, I'm delighted to be with you.
Let's start with the big picture. Obviously, a different branch than you, being with General Mattis being from the Marine Corps, but he also had a long and distinguished career as well. So I'm sure he had a reputation that precedes this nomination. What did you know of him coming into this announcement about Mattis as a man and a soldier?
Yeah, first of all, I think that it's a great choice, and I think that they are kindred spirits, him and Donald Trump. They're both, they breach every protocol associated with the political correctness rules, and I think that Jim Mattis will be a very good selection because, first and foremost, he's a warrior, and I think that what Donald Trump is looking for is somebody that would send a very strong message to our military, to the people in the ranks of our military, that we are going to get back to a focus on what the military's mission is, and that is plain and simply to win the nation's wars. And I think Mattis sends that signal, and it's a very good choice. I'm excited about it.
What about his career convinces you he's a good fit for this job, in addition to being kindred spirits with Trump and not having a lot of use for political correctness? What about organizing the military, running a big bureaucracy like the Pentagon?
Yeah, it's. I think Mattis, because he commanded the Central Command, he has experience in commanding very large entities, and he understands the importance of communications, which is one of the reasons that many of the things that he has said have resonated with those in uniform, while they cause problems with people outside of the military. But I think the people in the military have felt good about the fact that Jim Mattis was a warrior, made no bones about it, and in fact, the way he commanded was the command structure and the command program of a warrior. So I think that what he is going to represent here is a sea state change within our military that is going to get us back to the fundamental mission of that military. And there's probably going to be a lot of unhappy people, certainly outside of the military, and there may be some of the civilians inside the military that will not be happy with his selection. But I think overall that he is a very good choice.
Top goals, I would imagine, would be crushing ISIS and strengthening the military in general. What do you see as the top priorities in those efforts, and how well do you think he'll handle them?
Yeah, I think his top priority will be restoring the warrior ethos here. You know, we've been plagued by myriad social experiments for the entire 8 years that Obama has been in our commander-in-chief, and it has created a huge morale problem. It has reduced our readiness. It has made our ability to win the nation's wars questionable. And I think that his first priority will not be defeating ISIS at all. I think it will be restoring the warrior ethos. That's not to say that he won't take a very serious approach to dealing with ISIS and all the other threats, but I think it's restoring the warrior ethos is the most important thing, and that's what I think he'll attack first.
You mentioned the cultural agenda that's been put upon the military in recent years. So what do you expect his approach to be? Is he going to let it keep going? Is he going to push back aggressively, or will he likely freeze things as they are?
There are some things that he cannot roll back. But what I think he can do is he can put an end to all of the wasted training time that is associated with every social experiment. For example, when you allow transgenders to serve in the military, there is a training program that goes with that. And every soldier, sailor, airman, marine, and Coast Guardman has to go through hours and hours of that training. Well, what does that do? It causes them to have to give up something in their training program. And you ask yourself, last January, when these two patrol boats were taken off the coast of Iran, and these sailors were humiliated by the Iranians, and the commander, a Naval Academy graduate, looked into the cameras and said, this is all our fault, and we want to apologize to the Iranians. And then he said, and we want to thank them for their hospitality. That's not appropriate. That's not acceptable under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. The problem is they didn't get that kind of training, but what they did get was inclusion and diversity and tolerance and white privilege and all of those things that go with social experiments, and they contribute nothing to the ability to fight and win the nation's wars.
A couple of quick questions before we let you go. General, as you well know, some folks are a little bit concerned about Mattis having only retired a few years ago. They worry that there should be civilian command at the Pentagon, and with Mattis's 40 years in uniform and not waiting 7 years, as the law currently suggests, that that might be moving away from that preference for civilian leadership. Do you have any concerns on that front?
Well, I fully endorse civilian control of the military. It's a fundamental principle to our constitutional republic, and we all believe in that. But these are extreme circumstances. These are extreme situations that we find ourselves in now. And I think that you need to find the best man to do this job, man or woman. But you need to find the best person that can restore our military readiness, because there's too much at stake in the future not to. So in this case, I'm comfortable with it. I would not want that to be the norm. But again, we're not in a normal situation or circumstance.
Finally, sir, back to the reputation of General Mattis itself. It's not often that you see active duty personnel and I guess for the most part veterans almost tripping over themselves to go public with how much they respect this man. What did you make of that aspect of this announcement, and what does it tell you?
Oh, they've been waiting for this kind of look. They've been living in fear of what the next president was going to do, and I think that this has, you know, it has brought elation to most of the people in uniform and the veterans as well. We all see this as being good news for the country and certainly good news for the military. And, you know, Mattis is, and you said it earlier, you know, Mattis is, unlike most Marines, which I, you know, I'm an Army guy, so unlike most Marines, Mattis is actually brilliant. But furthermore, he is very well read, and Mattis is a incessant reader, and you know, go all the way back to the classics. So what you're getting in here is a guy that is not only a warrior, but he's a diplomat and he's a scholar, and I think that he has all the components to be able to be very effective in restoring our military.
General, we'll leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for your analysis.
Okay, great being with you.
Thank you, sir. Retired U.S. Army Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, 36 years in uniform, original member of Delta Force, spent a lot of his career commanding Special Forces, former Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.